This campaign is not just about the failed policies of a failed governor who thinks that lifting up the people of Illinois is a government expense rather than an investment in the future. No, this campaign is about a fight for economic security, about jobs and wages, health care, education, and human services for working families in Illinois.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I have two fine taxpaying residents in the state of Illinois here, Pat Brady and Carrie Lester. Pat, let me say you did a fine job on Channel 9 last night.
Thank you. It was fun. Ben Bradley did a great job. Micah, Cliff, it was really fun. Good crew.
And Carrie Lester's here, who has written about state politics longer than anyone should have. And apparently she has served her time. And she's now off writing successful books. Your book is called what again?
Oh, Know My Place.
And where do we get Know My Place?
Amazon, like anything else.
Premise quickly is?
Sexual harassment in Illinois government and politics.
Plenty of it, too much of it, and it needs to end. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you first, Pat. What does the Republican Party take out of last night?
Well, the party, obviously, the vote was so divided, there's some division, but what the governor needs to do, and I think he will do, is reach out to the people who didn't vote for him, explain why he's a better alternative than the Democrat, and do that, and he'll do that over the next couple of weeks. The Democratic Governor Association already has an ad out this morning banging on Governor Rauner, but that's what we need to do in the short term, and I think he'll do it.
Would either party, Carrie Lester, be smart enough to give voters a break and get off this for a while, or are they just going to continue to pound it all summer?
No, they're going to continue to pound it as long as they have the money to do so.
Right, and there's no shortage of cash here?
Not in Illinois. I mean, that's the first thing you're hearing when you started to see that, you know, the AP called the race for Pritzker really early, like 8:25 in the evening, and then Rauner was much, much later. It was after 11, right?
Well, it was over at 9:30, but there were problems in DuPage County.
For the second election in a row, I would want to get back to what a disaster that kind of is. But, you know, it's just this billionaire-billionaire race.
There is supposedly $300 million between them that they may spend on this for a job that pays $200,000 and you'll take grief every single day. Should be concerned about the psychology of these two people that they want this gig?
Probably anybody that wants to be governor of the state you wonder about. But I believe, both of them, I think, believe in public service. And I'm glad they're doing it.
Well, we have to have a governor.
Right.
We also have to have a governor that can get something done. One of the things that struck me from last night was, and I think it's clear I'm no Jeannie Ives fan, but Jeannie Ives, if she doesn't run that terrible commercial, she may well have won yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right. And angry people turn out to vote.
Right.
I've never seen so many people strategize in this particular primary, like, well, I'm normally Republican, but I'm going to vote Democrat because, or vice versa. I'm Democrat, but I want to vote Republican because I don't want fill in
totally,
the blank.
I don't want Rauner to win,
right?
So I'm going to pull a ballot for Ives. You saw that all across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why yesterday the governor was so emphatic on it. People need to get out to vote. And I agree with you on Jeannie Ives. She had the worst political advice I've seen in decades, and that cost her. But the reality is, and I congratulate her for running, it would have been a real uphill climb for somebody that socially conservative to win in the state. It just doesn't happen. It's a center-left state.
So 31% approximately vote in Cook County and in the state. Sounds pretty awful. However, that is 64% better in the state and 94% better in Cook County. Are we heading in the right direction? It seems like it.
I think so, but Pat, a couple weeks ago, I ran into you at the gym, and you were talking about 800,000 voters.
Pat, you need to take that, or can that wait till after the show?
Sorry, Steve. It's
not very important, but...
My pizza's out front.
You were saying, Karen, you're at the gym, and what happened?
800,000. Pat's telling me that 800,000 Republican voters were going to turn out for the primary, and he was saying then it was going to be close between Rauner and Ives, but I think less than 800,000 turned out.
That was 650.
Yeah. So were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it would be closer to 750.
And what does that say?
It says that it was not a very aspirational campaign on both sides. Democrats had bigger turnout, but not huge turnout.
Right.
And to get bigger turnout, millennials at 3%, they were thrown around last night.
How about that? I thought that'd be higher, too.
Wait, how much? Three?
3%.
Three, yeah.
What's funny is...
That's Violetta and Kevin Powell.
And those are the people that have the most...
They voted.
Those are the people that have the most energy, and they'll stay up late.
Yeah,
they'll stay up late, and they'll tweet things, but they won't get out and vote.
Yeah.
Well, like Patrick, my son, was his first vote yesterday, and dragging him out of bed to go vote. Like, you don't vote today. You don't have a home tonight.
So you better there you go.
Was he pumped after he did it a little bit?
Yeah, he goes, did I vote right? I go, well, tell me. And I go, you know what ballot to pull, right? He goes, yeah, I know where I live.
Right.
He was very pumped. He wasn't when I got him out of bed because it was 6 o'clock, but when he got home, he was all excited. He goes, wow, that was pretty cool. So
there you go.
Money clearly talked in this election, and I was hoping it wouldn't, not just for a multitude of reasons, but why is it? Is it just people are listening to these negative ads, or they're seeing it more? I mean, why is money?
Why does money pay off?
Exactly.
It's just bombardment, right? And that's what I hear the most.
Yeah, and I think there's a collision of worlds, right? I mean, Pritzker was able to win because Madigan early on recognized how important money would be. And so he fueled that fire. And then, you know, you had Pritzker just dropping more and more and more money into that race. You know, I kind of wonder, what was it? It was $63 million he
71.
Spent? 71 on the Democratic side. Did he really need to spend that much? I mean, his opponent spent so much less, but, you know, you become incentivized.
Well, wasn't Rauner somewhere in that neighborhood?
No, he spent 17 something overall.
Oh, 17. Okay.
But four or five was directed at Jeannie Ives. The rest was directed at JB.
They can pay off the pension debt or portion.
Well, it started off anyway.
I mean, yeah.
Pritzker.
That's in the billions. That's
world, right? Yeah, right. It could be a start.
Pritzker's got a lot of money. But I was laughing about this, thinking about this yesterday. At some point, don't you? I mean, Carrie, you're married. Back in the day, if you went home to Julie and said, hey, we got a lot of money, but I'm going to spend $70 million on this.
Yeah, forget the college fund. But,
right.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's got it. He can spend it any way he wants. But at some point, campaign finance reform has to change from here to Washington and back.
Well, it's just sad because it's become such an elitist field. You feel like you can't run for governor.
Well, that's why Dan Biss did so well.
Yeah.
But here's where the Democrats, and JB's going to fund everybody for the Democrats. Said, but I think they made a mistake strategically that removed the millionaire argument or billionaire argument from Rauner.
Right.
Now it's just two rich guys. Before, it could have been, if it would have been Governor Rauner against Dan Biss, that's the middle class guy versus the billionaire. Now it's just two billionaires, and it's going to be more about taxes and reform and things like that.
But it's so boring, two white male billionaires. You know, it's right. The same.
The undercard's phenomenal. You got Kwame.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about Kwame coming up, but before before we get to that, you talked about an aspirational candidate. We know that one of the reasons Hillary Clinton lost, aside from being a terrible candidate, is the fact that she had no message. She had no message about this is why I want to be president and this is what I want to do. If anybody had taken a look at her website, you could see back then she had great plans for everything. She never talked about it. She just talked about how terrible the other guy was, and Trump ekes out an Electoral College victory. If Rauner doesn't develop this is how I will work with Mike Madigan to get something done, he's got a problem.
Well, you're going to see probably talk about corruption. You're going to see him talk about property taxes and probably roll into the crime problem. I think he will have a positive agenda on that. But the flip side of it is, you want to talk about message. I was trying to just total up everything that JB promised he was going to deliver to the state last night, and we were in the $400 billion range.
I got a gazillion. I actually got to a gazillion.
that's so
great. Yeah. So it's going to be... It's going to be an interesting battle. It will truly be a Republican who believes in a limited government, don't spend more than you have, and some reforms that people want, versus in the Democratic Party. I think there's some warning signs. It's more acute for Republicans because we have Trump. But the far left had a big night last night. Dan Biss got second place. Marie Newman almost beat Dan Lipinski. Mm-hmm. The far left has a lot of influence, and if he continues to get yanked to the left and promising all these things in a state that's broke— that's going to be a problem.
To stick on Rauner for a second, I think that he has to become more offensive instead of defensive. That saying I'm not in charge. I wish I were. Madigan holds all the power. I think
totally
that was the
agree.
Most damning statement
totally
made
agree.
Over the election cycle.
That's what I thought too. I thought if he can get through either a speech or an interview without saying Mike Madigan has a hold on the state, I'll be thrilled.
Well, there's a way to communicate that Mike Madigan is blocking everything without saying he's in charge of me and I'm the governor.
Right.
Those are the two conflicting problems.
Right.
You mentioned the attorney general. We'll come back and talk about that because I think it's one of the cooler races that you could have in this state for a long time. We have two younger people who aren't old, rich, white people who are going to face off for a really important job. The attorney general job affects your job or your life more every day than you know.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The attorney general's number one law man or law woman in the state. It's a big deal, especially with a state with a little bit of corruption here and there in politics. Lisa Madigan goes away, and now we know who it's going to be. One of two people, either Kwame Raoul or Erica Harold.
She's not running again. She's not going away.
Right.
That's
she's
going to
appear
art.
Somewhere. We're just not sure.
Yeah, that's a fair back. Point. I did make it sound like she was going away. That's not true at all. Carrie Lester's here, Associated Press, Daily Herald, big shot author now. And Carrie I really like the looks of this race. Kwame Raoul and Erica Harold.
It was interesting. There was diversity. There were good candidates. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And, you know, you can't forget that we also had Pat Quinn, the perennial candidate. And so that one, I was nervous. I mean, I thought, you know, here's a guy. He jumped in late. He hardly spent any money. He did have some commercials at the end, but it looked like he was going to win for a while because he drew the lucky straw to be at the top of the ballot. And Kwame eked by, but it wasn't by a big victory.
No, I thought Quinn was going to win, just based on his name ID in downstate. Yep. But yet, Eric Adelstein running his campaign, doing his ads.
Kwame Raoul, that's exactly right. What can you tell me about either one of you guys, Kwame Raoul? Or, well, you know Erica Harold. Tell me about Erica Harold.
No, both of them. Kwame's a great guy, a real nice guy. I think a great acceptance speech last night. It's going to be a great race. The difference will be, I think, forward-looking are going to be, I think the whole Democratic ticket will be, more of the same. I think Erica will, for the Republicans, represent a future, a different approach to run the Attorney General's office, prosecuting corruption and taking on the crime problem up here in the city, unlike what Lisa Madigan just didn't address those issues. And I think she's one of the best candidates I've ever seen.
She's a really neat candidate. And she had a strong race against Rodney Davis downstate a few years ago. I covered that when I worked for the AP. And I mean, she lost, but I felt like in that district, she was kind of, you know, it was one where she was set up to lose, and she did better than was expected.
She's really a policy wonk, too. Yeah. She knows the office, and she's very, very sharp and really knows how to deliver a message.
I think they're both great speakers. They're both, I think, powerful candidates. And I think arguably this is going to be a very, very, very close race, maybe closer than governor.
It'll be fun to watch, if you like policy and politics, two African Americans discuss criminal justice reform in a state that badly needs criminal justice reform in the communities that they represent. I think will be a great debate. Yeah.
And this will be the first African-American attorney general.
This will be the first African-American Republican nominated statewide ever.
Yeah. Do we need a different party attorney general versus the governor's office to have success in that office and to make sure people don't believe there's some sort of collusion? There's the word. Or corruption?
I don't think it's absolutely mandatory, but it can't hurt. I mean, I think the more diversity we have among the constitutionals, the better.
Eric has done a very good job of stating exactly what she wants to do and that she will be independent.
And that message, you know, who uses their Miss America money to go back to Harvard and go to law school? I mean, I think that resonates with people.
Yeah.
Steve did.
Similar
there.
So I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
But she does have a few stumbling blocks. I mean, that comment about raising children in a gay home, I think that will stick with her in
November.
She
didn't say that. I mean, she says she doesn't remember saying it.
Right.
And that
but didn't she own it afterwards?
She did. She apologized.
She apologized.
If I did say it, I apologize.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I don't feel that way now.
Yeah.
Right. Which is good.
That's not her issue.
I think she needed to do that, though, too, because, you know,
she was
clearly such a strong candidate, and then that surfaces. You know, Marian Ahern broke that story, and I think
there's a lot of weirdness in that pageant world. Jealousies.
Pretty girls jealous of each other.
I think part of that came from the book. And
flashback to eighth grade. Wait a minute.
Where are it? Yes. Yeah. It's Mean Girls with sashes.
Exactly.
Can you guys hang around a bit? Because I have other questions. I need you to clear things up for me. Carrie Lester's here. Title of that book again?
Know My Place.
Know My Place. Get it. Get two copies. You know how you are. You're careless. You'll lose one.
Thanks, Steve.
And Pat Brady, who slept 6 minutes, is here. What's the name of that company of yours?
Next Generation Strategies.
So get out there and know that Next Generation Strategies is the official Next Generation Strategies of the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you.
729. Of course, it's a big honor. Headlines from Andre in a moment at 720 WGN.
So those of you around the state of Illinois who wanted to send me a message, let me be clear. I have heard you. I have traveled the state, and I have listened to you. While we disagree on some things, let's commit to working together on what unites us. The reforms we need to save our state.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What message did he hear? You know, Carrie Lester, Pat Brady are here. What message did the governor hear? He said, I've traveled around the state. I've heard you. Okay, what's the message?
Well, I think he's talking about it was a close race, a lot closer than a lot of people thought it would be. And the social conservatives are not happy with him.
Right, but my point is, when you hear something like that, my ears go to, okay, what message did you hear? And what are you going to do about the message that you heard? It simply goes to clearing up that message from the governor, which I still think he needs to do. Let's talk about the people that didn't win for a second. Chris Kennedy, Dan Biss, they have a political future if they want it?
I think so. I think Daniel Biss is a policy wonk. I think he'll resurface. I think he would have been a great comptroller. I think he would have been, you know, good in that office, but he just didn't have the right cards at the right time. Kennedy, I was reading a stat last night, and I'm not sure, I didn't research if it's accurate, that he's only the third Kennedy in the family to lose.
Is that right?
Wow. An election? And so I, you know.
Well, that's not a great statistic at Thanksgiving.
Well, Grandpa Joe used to help things along.
Right, right. He's
generation.
Not there. Yeah, he's
I'm surprised that it wasn't closer between Pritzker and
but
Kennedy.
I think Biss and Kennedy split whatever was going against Pritzker.
Yeah, you talk about Ives getting what she got.
Right.
Wow.
Over 50% of the Democrats voted for somebody other than JB.
How about that?
But Chris Kennedy gave one of the nicest, classiest concessions.
I thought he was great.
It was lovely.
It was really good.
Very nice.
All right, what about on the other side? Does Jeanne Ives have a political future outside of what the job she already has?
I don't know how she translates statewide. And as you said, Steve, that commercial, had that not aired, I think she might have been viewed as a slightly more tolerant candidate. So I'm not sure that she resonates outside of Wheaton.
Yeah, well, maybe she does, because she obviously has some talent for politics, and she strikes a chord with a certain group of people, but and I've said this before, the people around her, the Policy Institute, the Dan Profs, those people, she needs to get away from because they gave her terrible advice.
Yeah, well, the Policy Institute and Dan Prof could have taken the governor down if he had stuck with him much longer than the month or so he was involved with the governor.
Yeah, the reality is, the political organization, the campaign, the goal of doing it, the exercise, is to win. And you can't win if only 28% of the state actually agrees with your policy position. She needs to moderate, or she can run for something local, but she won't go statewide.
I did find myself thinking last night about, you know, the Policy Institute's performance. I mean, it was a big loss for them in the Durkin race as well. And so, you know, are they going to change gears a little bit moving forward? I doubt it, but.
Well, the message doesn't work. The takeaway from last night, for me anyway, is that hate doesn't work. Yeah. And that's a good thing for the Republican Party, because I was very afraid if this went the other way that those people that did the hate commercial were going to be rewarded for it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe Berrios for a second. He goes away. What sort of damage does that do to the Mike Madigan machine? And who is Fritz Kage? And is he going to be good at the gig?
I think it helps the Mike Madigan machine. Berrios had a lot of baggage that is not helping an already kind of unflattering message for the Democratic Party of Illinois. And so I think, you know, you saw these early celebrations when Berrios made this concession speech. I think that's one race that people are pretty universally happy about in the state. So Kagi's going to have to prove himself. He's going to have to be something other than the guy that's running against Berrios. But time will tell.
There's going to have to be a whole revamping now of these assessments and the property tax system, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's people driving to work this morning. That's one of their number one concerns.
For
I pay
sure.
too much taxes to live in Illinois, and I might have to leave the state. What can Fritz Kage do about that?
Well, not much, because I agree completely that actually I think this helps Berrios, because it somewhat takes the boogeyman.
Helps Madigan, you mean?
Helps Pritzker. Because Berrios being gone, you don't have somebody to point at. Now the problem's being solved. We don't want to hear about it anymore. He still has the problem of the fact he ripped the five bathrooms out of his second mansion on Astor Street to get a tax cut.
It's unbelievable.
But we were trying to make this point last night. The big issue with the assessor, it's huge, obviously, with what we saw from the TRIB reporting about lower-income people paying more than higher-income people. But the big scam is it's in the commercial properties.
Oh, my God.
That's where the money's made.
I have the person, you know, I live in a condo building. The person who lives next door to me with the same square footage pays $300 less a month in assessments than I do. That's ridiculous. And then when you try and appeal it, oh, it's free. But because of the laws of the state, because you are part of an association, you have to hire a lawyer to do it.
We talked about
where does that money
the Rauner statement, too, about not being in charge or whatever, which will hurt him in the long run. I think everybody knows that. But I think the Astor Street bathroom toilet ripping out to get a $250,000 tax break is going to be equally painful for JB.
I was surprised the Blagojevich tapes weren't more of a hit.
Well, I'm going to make a button that says there are more tapes.
Yeah, right?
Well, there is, with all the money involved and all the talk about Oppo research on a national level, I'm sure there's a little bit of that coming in this race. How ugly is this Rauner-Pritzker thing going to get?
I think pretty ugly. I mean, when there's money to fuel it, I mean, the sky's the limit.
How about Tony Preckwinkle? Were you guys surprised that she completely just floored Bob Fioretti?
No. I think people hated that soda tax, but I didn't see a substantial campaign.
Nobody paid a price for voting for the soda tax. In fact, two people paid a price for being against it. Did Boykin, I tuned out about
Boykin
one.
Boykin won.
He went, okay,
yeah.
So he stayed in, but he was, but John Fritchie,
Fritchie
lost.
Fritchie, yeah, I was right. Surprised by that.
I was too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, let's hear from an actual citizen, a taxpayer who just walked up to the microphone here. Sandberg? Well, let me turn your mic on. That might help.
Okay, so I know the two biggest pizza eating holidays are the day before Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But with the every news person I was following last night on my social media was eating pizza. And so I would like to know if the numbers are in on how much pizza was consumed last night and if that's always been a thing.
Well, you guys have all been election, to campaign headquarters. Is that the go-to?
It is. And I have to say, I saw a photo on Twitter of WGN spread, and you guys looked at the best pizza.
There was about 35.
How about that?
Yeah,
a whole
35
room.
Pizzas at GNTV, and then we had a whole green room full of pizza here at radio.
For the Justin Kaufman web thing?
Yes, and then I believe Justin's producer, Pete, was told to guard the pizza so that Ro Khan's show didn't eat it prior to election coverage.
Well, it's interesting because pizza used to be quite reasonable. It's not anymore. That's quite an expensive buffet.
Yeah.
You said an entire studio full of pizza at Channel 9?
Yeah, the old Bozo studio was full of pizza. I'm not kidding. It's in Gandarino.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My election
studio?
Judges at my polling place were eating pizza while checking me in. So pizza, I'm just curious if the... if that's now a pizza holiday as well, elections.
You eat so badly on election night. I have taken to telling myself that calories don't count because you're just eating.
Yeah, you don't have a nutritionist there. And we should thank the election judges, including the ones that had trouble staying awake. Because every time one of these comes up and you see these, you know, it's a cliche, it's the gag, oh, it's the old folks, they don't have anything to do, isn't it cute they volunteer? It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
They sit there all day, they work their butts off, you know, when, including just putting up with people. So thanks to all of them. I made sure I thanked them when I was there yesterday. But again, we had spurts. Where I voted, other places like yours were busier.
They said it was busy in the morning. There was a line actually in the morning, but when I got there, I popped right in. There was maybe a handful of people there.
At 5 o'clock, the Chicago Board of Elections did a press conference or a news conference on the phone, and they said the numbers went from 20,000 an hour to 45,000 an hour from 5 to 6. So
good.
There was a huge turnout at the very end.
They need to make that cooler, though.
What do you mean?
I want to be able to vote online. I don't want to have to go thank a judge.
I think
at a weird location.
It'd be 100% if you can just vote from your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
They could email us a little I voted badge on your phone.
Right.
You know, so you can show people that.
Right. And I was telling Pat this during the break, but as a reporter, I switch ballots in primaries every year out of fairness. A mentor of mine had done that, so I thought that's a good idea. And it was my year to take a Republican ballot. So I go to my polling place, I ask for a ballot, and the election judge says to me, "Are you sure you want to do that?" It's just so Chicago.
Wow.
So. Well, you pulled a Republican ballot,
yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to do it?
Are you sure? That's fantastic.
That's nice. That's nice. Carrie Lester's here, and Pat Brady's here. We got a couple more minutes with them before we wrap up this discussion of the future of the state of Illinois. Next hour, Jim Ryan, the Austin bombing suspect is dead, killed himself last night, set off an explosion in his car as police closed in. Now we'll see if we can get some more information on how they found him coming up. Oh, and it's Bacon Fest. If you guys stick around, forget about pizza. There's bacon in studio after 9. And bacon is so good, you'll be able to smell it in your car if you're driving to work this morning.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a traveling man.
Carrie Lester and Sandberg just invented a new slogan on election night. Pizza calories don't count, your vote does. Huh? There's your t-shirt. Carrie Lester is here, and Pat Brady's here. The assessor's race, here's one thing we didn't talk about. There was a third candidate that wants to make a federal case, or maybe a local case, out of the fact that she should have been on the ballot. She wasn't on the ballot. There may have been some Chicago shenanigans going on. What do we know? Anything?
I think she's got a good case.
I think if it were closer, she might have a case.
But is there a legal path to go down on this? Is there a precedent for it?
I don't know.
I don't know that. But, I mean, I just feel like she could, you know, she can make a big stink about it, whether she's successful in court or not.
A couple of texters brought this up, and it is certainly a worthy question. Why, if J.B. Pritzker is willing to spend $70 million of his own money on the primary, is he willing to risk losing all of that to save $250,000 on his property taxes?
Right.
Is that a character issue? Is
penny wise, pound foolish?
That's a great question,
right?
Actually.
And several listeners brought that up this morning.
Well, the what makes it even worse is there's a, just a certain pot of tax dollars that come from property taxes. So somebody else in some other part of the county had to, or had to pick that up.
Yeah,
it's not a zero. You know, it's not just $250,000 he saved. He just saved it. Somebody else had to make that up somewhere.
Yeah, and but you do hear with these guys who make these exorbitant amounts of money, they are very thrifty. Like Governor Rauner famously drinks like really cheap beer, like Stag and yeah.
Schlitz.
Hey, let's not get
Schlitz
on.
And things like that. Right.
Is Stag cheap? I thought that was high end.
That's primo.
You couldn't get any Old Milwaukee?
Bush Light.
Couldn't right. get any Genesee brought in from the East?
Bush Light. That was my college beer.
Carrie, you were talking earlier about the mess in DuPage County, one right. of the richest counties in the country. What's going on there?
So this is at least the second election in a row where their results have frozen and haven't been coming in. And it's a big problem, I think, for reporters around the state, but particularly places like the Daily Herald, where I used to work, where you're trying to look at, you know, how the different counties polled. And so last night, a message came up that their votes, they were not able to tabulate their votes, and they didn't know when they would be able to. So there has been a big fight over there, whether to consolidate the election board under the, I think, the county clerk. And that's been a big push to County Chairman Dan Cronin. And he said, oh, you know, this is just another reason why changes need to be made. And I think that's right. But either way, it's just this massive inconvenience.
Well, Cronin's a great example, I think, for Republicans of somebody that's actually a good leader that gets along with people and is making incremental change to reduce the size of this bloated government. And hopefully he'll be successful in reforming that board.
Another texter just brought up with the Equifax data breach. Isn't that a reason not to vote online if it ever comes to that? I don't know how it doesn't come to this at some point. And the same argument, I think you brought this up and Eric Edelstein brought this up. We move every penny on the planet,
my God,
which is, you know, our important stuff, our money, mm-hmm. electronically. Why can't we vote electronically?
Well, I guess we can tie into national politics here. If the Congress would do their job and investigate Russian interference in our elections and put the politics aside, maybe we can figure out what exactly they did and try to prevent it. But mm-hmm. it is a risk.
Well, there's a risk in everything. There's right. also a risk that Citibank will get whacked and we're right. all going to wonder where our money is, but it's not happening.
But, you know, the Russians hacked into the Illinois state voter registration database as is, so I think anything's possible.
Yeah.
Carrie Lester's book. Mm-hmm. Did you know she wrote a book?
Yeah, it's fantastic, I don't know if you're... by the way. It's excellent.
Thank you.
And that book is called?
Know My Place.
Know My Place. Let's stop sexual harassment in not just Illinois government, but in all over.
Yeah, Illinois is a nice start.
Yeah, well, let's do that first.
You know, it's having an impact. Have the guy that hangs down there, there's a different tone down there.
So you said that there people are less huggy and all sorts of
yeah,
things.
There's no
there.
Hug. It's a no-hug zone.
Yeah.
Couple of calls before we go. Jim's on the phone from Aurora. What's your thought, Jim?
Yes, Steve. Great show. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
You know, it's all good. And Pat, I'm a D, but I wish you'd run for something because I'd vote for you. But seriously, you mentioned two things, the election judges and their hard jobs. They're really the heart and soul of the elections. Those people work their butts off.
I agree.
But you made a point about people asking, are you sure you want that ballot?
Oh, yeah. Carrie got us it.
Yeah, that's an affirmation because people don't always think what they're saying. So you want to make sure you're giving them the correct ballot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I get it. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. But you should also be trained not to ask it that way because it feels like you're saying, you sure you want to vote Republican?
Plus, right. You sure you want to eat that donut?
He yeah. didn't. He didn't right. know he was talking to a reporter, too.
Well, there's that.
There you
it's
go.
Always going to be. Chip's an election judge. Where?
I was out in DuPage County.
And what do you want to say, Chip?
Basically, I got up at 3:30. My son got up at 4 o'clock. Left the house at 4:30. Got to the polling station at 4:40. Got everything up and operational even before the other judges got there. And basically, we opened up at 6, closed at 7. I didn't get home until 11:30 last night.
It's a long day, man. It's a long day. I salute you.
I'm exhausted, but it was worth it. Just, I enjoy it.
Well, you enjoy it, and you also do an important job, and I appreciate it, and I think we all do, Chip. Thanks. You know what? Give Chip a Make America Vote Again hat. How about that?
Hey, there are a lot of chips out there. I think the noise drowns a lot of these people up. There mm-hmm. are a lot of dedicated public services. Everybody that ran yesterday did a public service, and it's hard, hard work.
By the way, Boykin lost by just over 1,000 votes.
Okay.
That was close enough.
Brandon Johnson, yeah. I wanted to make sure we had
Up over 64% statewide yes. and 93% in Cook County. It's a start, kids.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Congratulations. That was your...
No. We were a small part of it. Andrea did most of the work.
Yeah.
thank you, Carrie Lester. Thank you, Pat Brady.
It was so nice of you to have us on.
And please ask Carrie, please ask Pat, I should say, to go home and get some sleep.
I'll try.
No, we got a big day.
We're back with the news next. Zendine on 720 WGN.